Hello, and welcome to another episode of Freight to the Point. My name is Alfie, and today I'm joined by Lorenzo Rossetti, Director, Trade and Customs at KPMG UK. With the recent news that the second CDS deadline moving from March to November this year, we thought it was worth talking about the lessons we've learned from the first CDS migration from Chief in September 2022. And there is no one better to join me for this conversation other than Lorenzo, who has been in the customs industry for how long? Nearly 40 years. Welcome, Lorenzo, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks. And as everyone can see, I don't look old enough to have been in the industry for that long. But
thanks, Lorenzo. I mean, so what's going on with customs? Tell us all about it in the last 40 years. No, that's definitely not going to be my question. I'll stay for never. Before we talk about the move to Chief to CDS, it will be interesting to know what actually CDS, what it does it mean, and why is it different from the current system?
Okay, yeah. The CDS, the Customs Declaration Service, is the new declaration system that's being operated by HMRC. Now, why did they move, or why are they moving from Chief to CDS? And you have to go back a little bit in history. The CDS project started in 2016 and predates Brexit. And indeed, the HMRC were going to sign the contract with IBM, who are the main providers of the declaration management portion of CDS. They were going to sign the contract with them on the day the referendum result came out. So, of course, they said, whoa, hang on a minute, we're not going to do that. We need to see what's happening first. So CDS predates Brexit. It's all about modernizing the declaration system and process. Chief is very good, but it's old and it's inflexible. And in legislative terms, more importantly, it was not compliant with the Union Customs Code. And of course, at the time, in 2016 and before, we were members of the EU. So one of the major reasons for migrating from Chief to CDS was to have a UCC compliant declaration platform, have a more modular platform that allowed for flexibility and movement and changes in an easier way than Chief did, and to provide the trade with a more modern approach to delivering data. So we've got the message itself has changed from an EDIFACT message to an XML message. The delivery mechanism of those declarations is via API, so effectively machine-to-machine contact. And actually, when you send a declaration in CDS, the response, the first response, the acknowledgement comes back literally within a split second. So it's a, it's more modern technology. It's more flexible. It can deal with increased volumes in customs declaration. So as I said, started off as a pre-Brexit project. It had to migrate to being part of that overall Brexit strategy. We're still, the system is still Union Customs Code compliant, which some people may think is strange. Why are we worried about law that doesn't apply to us? And it's really all about having some commonality of systems and process, because we never know where, for example, the Trade and Cooperation Agreement will go, that the trade agreement between the UK and the EU, and indeed whether we're going to come up with some simplifications at the border. So that's why CDS is here. It's now, it's taking over, but not as quickly as everyone wanted, everyone in HMRC and the Treasury at least wanted it to.
Well, it's great to see that there are some changes in the technology and, changing kind of the way customs has been done. As you said, Chief has been an old legacy system. But as exciting as CDS, what are the obvious challenges that you're seeing at the moment, apart from the transition, the first phase, I mean?
Yeah, I think you can break the challenges into two broad areas. The first challenge is all about access. Can you actually access CDS? And if you remember, is it a month ago, 2 months ago? Time flies. HMRC gave the ability to trade to apply to continue using Chief. And there were about 3,500 applicants, and about 2,500 applicants were given authorization to carry on using Chief and not to migrate for imports to CDS. Some traders have just not been able to get the registration into CDS done. And that's because there are mismatches within gov.uk and the government gateway in particular. There are mismatches in relation to EORI numbers, VAT groupings, deferment accounts, multiple deferment accounts, and HMRC. And what you've got to accept is, and what we've all got to accept is, this is about master data within HMRC's domain. HMRC haven't been able to fix that. So there are lots of importers who just haven't been able to migrate because they haven't been able to access CDS and within the government gateway and get themselves registered and authorize agents to use it. So that's one side of the coin. The other side is in respect of operationally, how do you use CDS? Now, clearly, many, if not the majority of importers will use customs clearance agents to generate their declarations. Now, the CDS declarations have increased in scale in terms of the data elements you need to complete and to a certain degree, complexity. So there's a lot more master data that needs to be held and passed over to the entities that are making the declarations. And that's caused some issues. There's the classic prohibition and restrictions. You know, if I import a pair of shoes, there are about four additional documents that I have to associate to the declaration. And it's things like a waiver code for cat and dog fur and a waiver code for animal pathogens. Although they are delivered at commodity code level, for each individual importer, they're making a positive declaration at the SKU, at the product level. So there's a lot more work that needs to go into master data and the generation and maintenance of master data and actually passing that through to the person who's generating the declaration. You've also got areas like customs valuation. Customs valuation is, you know, everyone understands it. Well, if I pay £100, that's my customs value. But there's a requirement now to absolutely declare the method of valuation. There are six methods of valuation. And if you're using method one, which is the standard transaction value method, and the vast majority of imports are under the transaction value method, you have to positively declare that your relationship with the supplier has not influenced the price. And there are four particular questions. So there's more granularity of data, and that's causing importers to review what they're doing, change their master data, do a lot more work before they actually can provide the data to their customs clearance agent or generate their own declarations if they're self-filing. What we had, and for my sins, I was a member of one of the HMRC trade working groups during the beginning and middle of the CDS project. And one of the things that customs clearance agents were saying at the time was, it takes four times longer to generate a CDS declaration if you're taking the data and manually inputting it than it does with a chief declaration. So you've got an increase in data. You've got more time in terms of generating, actually physically generating those declarations. And there's a lot more granularity of information that you have to provide. So access to the system has been difficult. If importers and clearance agents prepared properly, then we see lots of declarations flow through pretty easily. But anything that's slightly out of the ordinary starts to become problematic because lots more new data elements, lots more granularity of data that has to be generated.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And we are seeing a lot of our customers as well having the kind of the same issues and lack of like they didn't register on time or they don't have the data. But do you really think that contributed to the extension of the deadline that was supposed to happen in the second phase?
I think that you need to look at a number of things. You know, imports was a priority and has been a priority for both HMRC and the trade. So the import process and making sure that the coding within the CDS system and how it interacts with other government systems was the key. So imports was the absolute priority. So therefore, I'm not saying that exports was ignored, but exports didn't have the level of attention that imports did. if you look at the publicly available data, there's something like, it may have changed recently, but the last time I looked, there's something like 100 known issues or workarounds within CDS at the moment, and they have to be fixed. So my gut feeling is, and clearly, you know, the government have announced that they're moving the deadline for NES exports from March next year to the end of November next year to give trade time to migrate. My gut feeling is that there's a fair proportion of that that's actually about allowing HMRC to get the NES portion of CDS working properly. So it's not, you know, I don't think it's absolutely, oh, we're going to give trade more time and we're being benevolent. It's the fact that if they went live in March, they're probably sitting there thinking, ain't going to go very well. So it's I think it's just letting the import side bed down and then concentrate on exports, and doing that in a 3-month period would be a nightmare for them.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. Do you think that from any extension, people sometimes tend to, or customers or traders tend to leave things till the last minute? We're expecting further extensions. That's like, for example, happened in Brexit, if you recall, and that's like, is Brexit even happening? And they will give us allowances. They will still make us use CHIEF, for example. So what's your take on this?
I absolutely agree. There's always that sort of change fatigue, and particularly where, you know, you look at, like I said, CDS started in 2016. We didn't actually get a deadline imposed until the early part of this year. So I think that's right. I think that, and I'm, you know, I'm not blaming anyone, but I think there are a number of players within the process, the industry, importers, exporters, whoever they might be, who have ignored the change. And it's difficult, especially where 6 months ago, we weren't, you know, how CDS was gonna shape up wasn't absolutely fixed in stone. So it's quite difficult to plan if you don't know what you're planning for. But I think you're right. I think there was in certain areas a lack of preparation. I think the risk is with that can being kicked down the road again for exports, there is a risk that people say, "Oh, relax." And just say, right, I'll think about it in 6 months' time. And then that gets you into the position where, you know, we will have that rump of traders who aren't ready, who are going to be forced into a migration that won't go very well. So, yeah, I think there is, you know, the fact that it's taken such a long time, there's that fatigue, that change fatigue that hits everyone. And in the customs world, the changes just haven't stopped since 2016 onwards, and therefore there is a risk that sort of kicking the can down the road will mean lots of people will relax and won't and will start to panic about preparation closer to November next year than they really should.
From all the challenges that we face in the migration for the imports, the first phase, you talked about data, you talked about not even registering, systems integration. So from a registering, why do you think traders take time to register? Is it challenging to register? Is it a straightforward process? Like, what's your opinion? Why do they leave it till the end? Is there something that they need to be aware of, it makes it easier for them to register? Or
I'm not blaming anyone on the trade side for this. The registration process and even accessing the right bit of the government gateway is really difficult. There isn't, for example, a single entry point into the CDS government gateway portal, if we want to call it that. If you enter using a particular link, it takes you to a particular section. You can't go anywhere else. So if, for example, you want to authorize an agent to use your CDS credentials, if you go through a different link on the government gateway that still takes you to your CDS screen, you won't be able to authorize them because you've got different URLs to do different things within CDS. So that's a problem. If you have changed your EORI number, and with Brexit, lots of non-UK importers will have applied for an EORI number before they received a VAT registration. When they got the VAT registration, they would have to cancel that original EORI, which is almost impossible, and then apply for a VAT EORI, so linked to their VAT number. If you had that change of EORI number, the background systems within gov.uk on the government gateway find it really difficult, if not impossible, to register you for CDS. If you're in a VAT group and you're a member of a VAT group, the background systems within gov.uk find it almost impossible to register you for CDS. If you're using multiple deferment accounts or you've got different deferment accounts associated to your government gateway account and your EORI, the background systems find it really difficult to register you for CDS. So I've seen lots of correspondence with various elements of HMRC where they say, we've passed this to our technical people and we're waiting for a fix. So like I said, you know, there's an element of the trade waited until the end, or a proportion of the trade waited until the end. But there's also an element of lots of really diligent traders who are very experienced in the operation of customs processes and procedures. Some of them do their own self-filing, so they're generating their own declarations. They have not been able to migrate because of HMRC problems with that registration process. And that's where it's quite disappointing, because you'd say, well, if you're in charge, if you, HMRC, are in charge of the data in the background, surely you can make it work. Surely you can amend various attributes easily. And the answer coming back is no, they can't. So, like I say, I don't know how many there are, but there are, I know of a number of importers who just cannot migrate CDS. They've been told by HMRC, we'll tell you when you can. And if you extrapolate that out, that says to me there's probably a lot of traders who are stuck in that position because of these data issues within HMRC's master data and the government gateway in particular.
Okay, so with the previous migration, obviously now import is done and the export is about to approach. Well, it's been extended right to November, but what would be the lessons learned from the import side, despite the fact that it's not really a season transition, as you have called? Like, it's more or less, there's lots of things to learn, and probably by November, new things would have surfaced out. But if you were to give a more of a three lessons learned to take away from that first migration for the exporters to kind of take that away and prepare for the next migration, what would that be?
Firstly, let's accept import migration hasn't ended. So that's going to continue, because like I said, there's lots of people who haven't migrated. I think
definitely
what we say to the exporting community, and lots of them will be importers as well, but what we say to the exporting community is you need to keep on top of information as it's published by HMRC. That's really difficult because they tend to send lots of information out all the time, and it's really difficult to see the wood for the trees. Keep very close to your service providers and ask them where they are within their migration path, because clearly, you know, there are a number of players within this. There's you as the exporter. There's your customs clearance agent if you're not doing self-filing. There's the customs clearance agent's software provider if they haven't written their own system, and not many do. And then there's also the CSP, the community service provider, the port operator, and of course there's HMRC. So you've got a number of moving parts that you need to be absolutely on top of to understand how and when you can migrate. So it's information from HMRC, it's making sure the partners that you're working with, you're all keeping each other informed about where you are on that horrible word, journey. But then it's about looking at the tariff completion rules and making sure you've got all of the data elements you should have. Exports should be simpler than imports. That's an absolute truism.
Absolutely.
So we should have enough time and enough knowledge to be able to ensure that process happens smoothly, but we know that, you know, with IT systems, how many, you know, multi hundred, you know, sort of 300-400 million government IT systems go? Well, not many. So I, you know, you've got to keep on top of it, make sure you're absolutely keyed into all of the actors within your particular supply chain, and you need to understand the completion rules, because that will tell you what data you need to provide.
Absolutely. That's a great insight. Thank you so much, Lorenzo. I think it's very important to keep learning, as you said, and understand the changes and regulations all the time. And it's a never-ending process. No one will ever claim that the import will ever finish. And I think even years to come will be much, much more lessons learned and ongoing. But thank you so much for joining us for today. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Freight to the Point. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you have any feedback, please feel free to reach out to me or to the Zen Cargo team on LinkedIn. Thank you so much, Lorenzo. And please all don't forget to like and subscribe to our podcast. But until next time, goodbye.